just move from there. So, you know, as I said, I want to thank everyone for coming to the grant committee meeting, and we'll get it started and start with a roll call of the committee members. Peter Lacy.
Present.
Lawrence Davis is here. Stephen Elba. Stephen's on his way. Kimberly Kennison. Susan Martin.
Here.
Alan. Okay, and other board members that might be here. Michael Angelini is here. Sarah Sanders.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And Mark Vahala. I want to thank everyone. You know, individuals must state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. And so that Steve is on his way up. I'm sorry. It's on his way up. Everyone has in their packet the special grant committee meeting minutes from November. I know that everyone's taking the time to read that, and you know, we'll ask if there were any questions before putting it to a vote to accept those minutes.
Move acceptance.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Is there a second?
I second that.
Thank you, Susan. Are there any questions, any corrections?
Right, but we can't vote until Steve. We brought Denise to keep us.
I don't think anyone's blank with us a lie on that.
Right.
All right, so you can go ahead and vote.
Yeah, so all those in favor of accepting the minutes from November, aye. Say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions?
I'm an aye.
One extension, and
there are minutes,
are being were accepted.
She's not a board, not
a
committee.
Oh,
she's
not a
committee.
Not a
committee.
I made a mistake
there.
But
he's
not a
no.
committee.
Not believing that for a minute.
Okay. I'm just going to give Steve a minute before we start talking about the grant program.
What?
Betty's going to.
Oh, here we go. The app.
Hard time hearing my computer.
Thank you. So we did not get very far. We just accepted the minutes from November. Soon that, you know, that not have had any. With that. All right. So we are meeting to go through the targeted grant program. Betty's going to provide, you know, overview of the program, the process, and provide some notes and comments about the individual request. Just a couple of point that I wanted to note as we start the process is that, you know, the program in terms of LOIs or applicants that we received, there were 15 applicants, applicants that received three or more in terms of rating were moved ahead, and so there are 10 applications that are going to be discussed at this particular meeting, and as I said, Betty will provide that overview. Another thing to note is that, you know, there were some extra dollars that were left over from the last grant process of $38,551 that was added to the million that is being looked upon in terms of this particular session. So the total amount available for the program is $1,038,551. And with that, I will hand it off to Betty to speak about the process. And
sure. So good afternoon, everyone. Just want to say and thank you, Lawrence, to providing a little bit of an overview, but one of the things that is included on page 15 in the staff memo is the community priorities, and that's based on community meetings that I've had with healthcare providers. Those community priorities that are listed are the need for community health workers, children and youth behavioral health, preventative care and wellness, and the lack of medical clinicians and practitioners. And one of the things about the 10 applications that we'll be discussing today is that they align pretty closely with those community priorities. So what we did see were many grants to focus on capacity building of the organization, to implement diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in order to provide a more balanced health equity in the state. We know that there are big disparities between different races in as far as receiving health care. There are also many requests that are focused on train-the-trainer models, which are really trying to see if they can train internal staff to then go out in the community and inform other individuals to become trainers in various programs as far as diversity, equity, inclusion. There are grant requests focused on mental health screenings and support. And lastly, in the community health area, we have a number of requests that came in that area too. So one of the things to keep in mind are those priorities.
If I may interrupt for a second, Betty, there are two other things that I just wanted to make sure that share is that the focus is on health equity as to what the applicants and what we are looking to support in terms of this particular. And so, you know, it's within the priorities that Betty, are those things that tie back to that particular.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Thank you for adding that in. And that was based on last May's board meeting where I sent out a survey and board members had, grant committee members had listed what they felt were the priorities for focus for the targeted grant program, and the health equity received the highest amount of votes from the committee. That was where the targeted focus came from.
So Betty's going to provide a review of the 10 applicants, and we're going to continue the process that we had in which I thought was pretty robust discussion last time, we're going to listen, and then, we will vote on who we wish to support. And I just want to make note that it is up to the committee as to, you know, what dollar amount that they want to provide in terms of support. We can provide the full amount that's being requested, or we can go and make changes as to how much that amount would be. And secondly, you know, with regards to the list, we have the ability to go and determine as to who or which applicant we want to go ahead and support, so that there isn't a limitation. You know, we did use the rating system in which the internal group did, folks here at Chamber looked at these and provide ratings, but we are not locked in or limited by those ratings. Section 2 provides that. And the last thing I would say is that the way and order of how things are going to be presented is on tab 3, we're just taking the names in alphabetical order.
Thank you, Lawrence. And I also like to just thank, before we get started, the review committee, which was Jeanette, Denise, and Michael, along with me. And that was the ratings were based on our reviews. So we'll start with on page 19. And Child and Family Agency is the first in the alphabetical list. And they're looking to support integrating a racial justice framework into their work, a two-year program that is focused on Middlesex, New Haven, New London, and Windham counties. They're requesting $100,000 over that two-year period, and they're really looking to implement an agency-wide systematic and sustainable transformation that's going to address racial inequity and social justice. And they're looking at hiring a facilitator to work with the staff there, assess all of their current work, also train the trainer, as I had mentioned earlier. They're looking to implement that. And they're looking to also diversify their leadership team. And so they're looking to kind of take a step back. And what a lot of these organizations are really looking at the, at this point is, how are we doing our business? And are we doing our business incorporating our racial equity lens? And I think what our some of the organizations have found is that they have been not as on point as they could be. So they're looking to bring in outside facilitators and focus on their internal work as well as their external work. So that gives a brief overview on Child and Family Agency.
I assume that everyone is taking a look at this, and are there any questions that you or I can answer?
I have questions, and it kind of bleeds over to several of them, but just so I understand, and I'm not advocating to support this one because I see the scores are really low, but just so I understand, in the comment section on page, or tab two,
right,
it has limited impact. One of the comments, limited impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the total number served is 7,000,
mm-hmm.
which is the largest number of any applicant.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
can you just help me understand what, you know, what we mean when we say limited? Because several of these have limited impact.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me understand what is?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question, Peter. That's a good question. So what we did was each of the reviewers had the option to select from some broad categories of comments. So and one of the comments is limited impact, and each of the reviewers has the opportunity, based on what they've read, to rate these organizations
right.
with a comment as well as a
right.
you know with as well as the high, medium, and low. So what we tried to do in that section was to list if it was one person that brought that up or not. That's what the numbers in parentheses mean.
I understand that. But
so yeah, so it could be that they felt that even though that the program served a large number of people, that they felt that the overall impact of that program
okay.
was less than,
okay.
You know, that they didn't feel that way. So
that,
again,
that's really my question. That it's not just a quantified, not a quantifiable impact qualitative in terms of the effect of the reach, not just the number, the quantity.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank
yep.
you.
So sometimes you. Oh, sorry.
So Peter, from my take in terms of reading this, I think that you know impact, and. We have to take in mind when we go through these, you know, the criteria again. Impact is looking at, you know, much more of a direct rather than an indirect through other processes so forth on, you know, that statewide basis in delivering services and so forth. And the other thing that was talked about is, you know, sort of a qualitative thing was, you know, do we believe or feel that, you know, the services or whatever services they're talking about is going to be something that is, you know, will be delivered or can be delivered or in there's a qualitative question that's there.
And also, so some of these grants you'll see under the where it says project location or counties, some of them actually are serving the entire state, where others are serving three counties or more. In this case, they listed there are four counties, so it could have been that they thought of it in terms of statewide. We say for statewide because it's very hard to find organizations that are, in fact, serving the entire state, but many of them are serving at least three counties of the state. So therefore, we say you have to serve at least three counties. So this one is serving four counties, and it could have been that they looked at it and said, okay, well, we've got eight counties in the state, so therefore they're only serving half the state, so that's a limited impact. It could be, but I, you know.
That's fine. I don't want to belabor it.
Yeah, no, but it's a good question. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
So the next request is for the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut. That's on page 33. And they're looking to, they're requesting $250,000 to focus on systematically addressing health disparities at FQHCs, those FQHCs, federally qualified health centers. The association oversees about 16 or 17 community health centers in the state. They're looking at a two-year program, and they have specific counties that they've listed, Fairfield, Hartford, Litchfield, and New Haven, and the specific locations there. But what they're really looking at is, again, this is similar to the previous request where they're looking at their own internal processes and they're saying, are we really addressing the health disparities in the state in a very comprehensive manner? And so they're saying that they, you know, feel that they've got work to do in that regard. And so their primary goal is to pinpoint healthcare disparities with the BIPOC population as well as other populations and develop targeted patient-centered interventions to improve the quality of care and lead to more positive health outcomes. So what they're also thinking about are the factors that they call them kind of social determinants of health or other factors that are actually impacting on folks' health care. And that can be anything from transportation to food to their jobs to where they live. And all of these factors come into play when we're talking about disparities and how social determinants of health really impact on the disparities in the state. So they're looking to take a step back, address the disparities, and address how they can support folks with those social, determinants of health and provide health care as well as provide other types of supports that are going to ensure that people have better health outcomes.
Any questions, comments about this particular request? Are none?
So the next request is on page 45, and it's the Connecticut Association for Infant Mental Health. And they're looking at a request for $249,405, three counties, Hartford, New Haven, and Tolland, a two-year program, and integrating care collaboration, providing early intervention and prevention services for children between birth to 6 years old. So really they're looking to focus on partnerships and with different organizations to offer developmental and mental health screenings, assessments, social determinants of health, again, and referrals for children birth to six to an enhanced positive infant and early childhood mental health. Expect to serve 1,500 this program, and I think what we're all seeing in the news right now is just how children's mental health is top of mind in not only in school systems but in those early years as well. So it's So the program serves to act as a safety net to screen, assess, and identify developmental and behavioral concerns, and to secure appropriate referrals and access to services. They want to collaborate with pediatricians.
Any comments? Questions?
So the next request is on page 55, and it's the Connecticut Breastfeeding Coalition. The project is a two-year project for lactation training and support for marginalized people in Connecticut, and really to increase the amount of lactation support services with folks who are Black and from the BIPOC community. So they're looking for $218,000 over the 2 years and to operate statewide. And they're hoping to achieve a greater increase in number of individuals who are BIPOC as far as support for lactation and breastfeeding. What we find in the, that women who are from Black and Latinx communities tend to not be breastfeeding as much as women who are white. And so this is really to focus on increasing the number of individuals who can provide training and lactation services. They're hoping to reach out to 400 BIPOC pregnant and breastfeeding families, and they're hoping to increase the number of lactation support individuals to 100 and have at least a third of them be from the BIPOC community.
Are there any questions? I have a question. You know, with regards to reaching individuals that they want to serve, I mean, it wasn't clear to me how they were going to do that. Would you know a little more about that, or speak?
I believe that they were partnering, but with other groups here. But let me. Okay.
Talking about teaching classes, I didn't know how they get people to.
Right. It was a lot about the training and recruiting of individuals, but I just didn't understand how they were going to reach.
White organization, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
So are you suggesting then that they already have a pipeline?
Yeah, from my understanding, they already have locations or affiliations.
So they do mention here. They do mention here the WIC program and the Hispanic Health Council. So I don't know if they're planning to partner through through WIC and the HHC, but they do mention that on the bottom of page 50.
I do know, like at our hospital, where we give all kinds of information and tours that have all kinds of resources to hand it out. I know that happens.
Just from my own knowledge, my ignorance here, but Betty, in your comments and then in the written narrative, you refer to BIPOC.
Right.
BIPOC is people of color. What is
Black, Indigenous. Sorry, I should have.
That's all right.
I should have not just used the acronym.
Showing my lack of.
That's
sophistication, I guess.
That's quite all right.
Good question.
I mean, sometimes we get into the, you know, the whole acronym there, so, sorry. Yeah.
All right, no worries. My own.
Any other?
Yes.
Bottom page 57 seems to suggest that the home visits are going to be supported.
Okay.
So maybe that's the. Maybe that's the.
Yeah, the home. The home visitation.
Right. It's right. First, getting the referrals is how do you touch them first is kind of.
Got it.
So, you know, I think that, you know, Alan and Lee gives us the fact that they're statewide seems to indicate that they probably do have some access to that there is, that might be the method that they have. Are there other questions or comments here?
Okay. So next is the is on page 7 is Connecticut Children's Medical Center, and this is a 2-year program requesting $250,000 for bridging the gap, an equitable start to nutritional and developmental health, and for this particular program, they are looking to partner with the WIC offices, and that's Women, Infants, and as well as the Birth to Three program. So here they're specifically saying that they're going to reach out and they're going to partner with those organizations to really look at supporting disparities and that addressing disparities and treating developmental disorders causing lifelong health implications. So this is screening. Birth to Three is a screening for everything from autism spectrum disorder or ASD to early intervention programs, and other issues that health issues that children can have. So this is really looking comprehensively at how there can be partnerships with, you know, obviously Connecticut Children's Medical is really concerned by hospital and focused on children. This grant is for statewide and really looking to address the issues which not all families are aware of, like the Birth to Three program and Women, Infants, Children program. So it's really looking to partner and to have a pipeline of children that belong, you know, that need screenings to get the screenings. So looking to serve 2,400 kids over a 2-year period.
Comments, questions? I had a quick question. In terms of the incentive, you know, as you give incentive, do we know how much that is?
How much they're going to give for incentives?
Yeah.
No, they just said they're going to give incentives for participating parents and sites, and so it says funds will be used to purchase project material sometimes it's or something like that, but they just said
okay,
so I'm going to just look and see on there. Okay. Sometimes it's so that they can get to a site, you know, Austin, something like that. But I don't know specifically.
questions? Comment. Just, Betty, the narrative in here, this is supplied by the applicant, right? There's no editorial by you.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. This is exactly what they provided us,
right,
in their full description of request. Yeah, there's no commentary.
Because in this one, it says, it talks about the proposed partnership aligns precisely with Chief's commitment to invest in education, blah, blah, blah. It's important for everybody to know that's their representation.
Exactly.
Not yours.
Right? Correct.
Right.
Correct. Right. Right. They know.
Yes.
Right. They know our priorities.
Right. But it's not you saying, that's not our internal review committee saying that.
No.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
No. The only, right, exactly. Thanks for bringing that point up. The only places where you see any kind of commentary from the reviewers,
right,
is on page 17 and 18 in that last comment.
Yes,
section.
I just find it wrong.
Yep.
That's
yep. Their. Yep. Yep. Exactly. Uh huh.
Any other comments? Questions? We'll go to the next.
Page 77 is the Connecticut Council of Family Service Agencies, and this is, they're coming to us for a one-year program, $250,000, screening Connecticut's youth outreach and education, improving access and equity, and this request is to address childhood trauma by integrating a community awareness and engagement campaign with free mental health screenings for up to 300 with expedited access to further assessment, behavioral and mental health services. And what they're looking to do is the Family Service Associations have a client base, and they're looking to draw from that client base. So it would be up to 900 children whose parents are participating in CCFSA programs right now, and asking the parents if they would like some additional screenings, and then to offer mental health support. So. Request program total of 900 children and families, and then additional 225 children over and above that 900 that they would expect to serve. 1,125 in total.
Any questions about this? Yep. Go on to the next.
Okay. So the next request is on page 81, and it's Connecticut Junior Request. It's a two-year, $250,000 request to expand services to provide behavioral health equity for children and youth. The demand for behavioral health services in all of Connecticut Junior Republic's clinic locations has increased. They're looking to focus on Fairfield, Hartford, Litchfield, and New Haven counties. And they are hoping to expand their programs that are held in schools. And they've grown from two schools to 20. And this is the fastest growing part of their work at Connecticut Junior Republic. And those school-based behavioral health services within the counties that they're serving. So this is, again, focused on youth behavioral health, which is something that I mentioned earlier, is something that is, if you open up the paper or look online at the paper and you have an issue with it. So they're looking to really expand their service. Greater than what they already have.
Thank you, Betty. Are there any questions? Comments?
Okay, so Lawrence is Health.
So Health Equity Solutions, I'm on the board of Health Equity Solutions, so I'm going to excuse myself for the discussion.
Okay, so Denise, if Lawrence is on the board of this, he has to recuse himself from the discussion. Does that mean good or recuse himself from the vote?
On this particular.
Are we?
Yeah.
When we get to the discussion
right.
of the grant committee members'
right.
discussion,
right.
he would recuse himself from the discussion on that one.
Right. So you're talking about that raise of hands.
Right. The raise of hands. Right. The raise of hands.
Talking about the actual vote.
Vote.
The,
right.
the official vote
of, no,
on a group.
So he could vote as long as that's not in the group.
Right.
But typically, we vote as a package.
Right.
So
right.
we would have to vote on everything except that one. We could vote on everything else. And then when we do that one singularly, he leaves.
If it's an approval.
If it's in a group.
If it's, yeah, if it's in the group.
Right.
right. Okay. I got it.
The difference between Lawrence's position and, say, Mike's position is Lawrence is an unpaid board member, so he doesn't technically have to recuse himself from the state ethics rule, but obviously it's voting on something where you're a board member. So in this case, he only has to recuse from that particular grant, whereas if, like in Mike's case, he would have to recuse from all voting on any approval or denial. Impact whether his
entity is right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that, Betty.
Oh, no, that's okay. Okay, so Health Equity Solutions is coming to us for a 2-year program, $200,000, and it's and focused on building community power, and they want to do so by training and empowering residents of the state of Connecticut to advance the implementation of Public Act 21-35 priorities aimed at eliminating racial and socioeconomic barriers in healthcare delivery and access. So that was a bill from last year's session, and it was focused on community benefit reporting, certification for doulas, and Health Equity Week, and so the Health Equity Solutions is the organization that the state named to partner and to get individuals to from the community to comment on the and be a part of the implementation of these initiatives that were approved by the state last year in the legislature. And so funding from CHIFA will help influence health policy legislation to support individual health, regardless of race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. They are going to provide leadership and guidance to the Connecticut Commission on Racial Equity and Public Health. That was also something that was created last year when this bill was together. Mobilize and train Connecticut residents to self-advocate for timely and Act 21-35 and hold lawmakers and public officials accountable for the rollout and implementation. So clearly last year's legislature identified that health equity was a big issue in the state, and so they passed this legislation, and they're working with Health Equity Solutions have community voice be elevated and be a part of determining how the how these bills are I mean how this bill is implemented. So any questions that
just one comment mm-hmm. I think the comment in the notes that is regarding the all its admirable of advocacy efforts. Focus of the grant, sorry. I thought it was a pretty apt comment.
So when we defined health equity as the focus area, it was not specific to, okay, we're going to train lactation experts, mm-hmm. or we're going to have, you know, X amount of community health workers. It was, how's your organization working on health equity in the state? So how they're working on health equity in the state is different than how some other organizations are working that may be seen as more, you know, immediate. We're going to implement, you know, 10 community health workers,
right,
or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a little bit different in that regard.
It wasn't ruled out in the definition.
Right. It wasn't ruled out in the definition.
Right. It is a little nebulous, right? It's not.
It's a different kind of a request than say some of the other ones, but it is an allowable request because they're working on this issue statewide. When we put out addressing health equity in the state, yeah, there weren't any quantifiers, like, so it needs to be, you know. And that was, so in the appendix, which is 5 of your booklet, you know, we say from organizations whose mission statement and the capital project or purchase or program are related to any of the following focus areas as determined by chief administration. So it's on page 152, health or health equity. That's how it was determined in the RFP, so that's how organizations respond. So does that clear?
No, I think mine was more of a comment, but I think it's a helpful clarification. I appreciate it.
Oh, okay.
It.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Are there anything else? Okay, so we can maybe ask Lawrence to come back in. That'd be great. Okay, so the next request is on page 115. It's Francis Hospital and Medical Center. So this is a two-year program, and they're coming to us for $10,000, and it is an expansion of community health worker support into emergency departments, specifically in Hartford, New Haven, and Tallinn counties, and specifically with the hospitals of St. Francis in Hartford, St. Mary's, in New Haven County, and Johnson Memorial in Tallinn County. So those are the hospitals that fall under the Trinity Health umbrella, and they're looking to have community health workers support in the emergency department. So one of the things that that emergency departments see is that folks show up at emergency departments with a lot of issues relating to the social determinants. They're sometimes known as the free flyers, or they come in departments because they have nowhere else to go. So what they're looking to do with this particular grant is really to focus in on patients that are coming in the evenings and on the weekends, and with community health workers that are going to support individuals because maybe they don't need to be at the emergency department, but maybe they need food. They are having some issue that could be dealt with in a federally qualified health center, something like that. And so what they're looking to do is really to focus on the social care, and they're looking to support 1,000 individuals and really address how the community health workers, who typically are community members, and they can talk to individuals in a different way because they're seen as members of the community versus a health care professional. Sometimes folks are less willing to speak to somebody that has a white coat on versus somebody that looks like them. So this is a request for workers in a two-year.
Sure, thank you, Betty. Are there any questions about this program? Comments?
I'll just comment that hospitals. It is really effective having these people built into the ED where the patients come in, and I don't know, Mike, I mean, it's probably my hand, but there's a study out there. Because it was funded for a little while. But it really does reduce, requires the number of visits these same patients come back to, which obviously is not what is healthcare in the state, because there are other health issues.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll go to the next. Thanks.
Okay. And it's actually the last request, and it is on page 25, and it's Southwestern AHEC, and that is for Area Health Education Center. And there are, I believe, five AHECs in the state. This is, they're coming to us for a two-year program, $250,000. Be the Change Community Trauma Awareness and Healing Program. Again, they're looking at community health workers as trusted members of the community. Project will provide prevention, education, supports, and resource connections for communities disproportionately affected by trauma, including adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs. This is focused on a statewide grant and looking to reach 2,000 people over.
Any questions, comments on this? So the process moves into where we're going to review the names again, and through a show of hands, we're going to take votes as to whether or not we support them and as the amount of support that we're willing to provide, whether it's a request or not. And so that's the process, and I think we have a question.
Sure. Has anyone tallied? I have not. Total of the amount requested.
It's over. So in the beginning section of it, it says that the total is $2,207,405 at $38,551. Let's make some.
Yes.
Well, you can share your comment.
Steve's comment. So it's well over the money we have available. I guess on page 17, there's a convenient break in the rating. That's $1,250,000. We've got $1,038,000, right?
$1,038,000, that's correct.
Oh, but breaking.
All right. So I think that
I think that the
easiest way to approach this is to use section 2 and go down, you know, based on the names and scoring sheet as a way to go through that, and you know, if we can have a raise of hands that should support this particular organization and the amount. So if everyone's okay with that,
Yeah, that worked last time.
Yeah, I think that's great. All right. So, again, you know, the high score at the time was the St. Francis Hospital and Medical Center program, which is the expansion of the community health in the emergency department. Number of votes are individuals willing to support that. That's everyone. And the request was for $250,000. I'm voting of the full $250,000.
Are we going to vote on the amount for all these? I mean,
yes, because we have the ability to go and change the amount if we should choose.
After. So supporting the $250,000 now is sort of a placeholder?
Yes.
Okay.
We, at the end of the day, we will, it's going to be tallied, and then, you know, there's a final vote as to, so that, as to how much, and that will be taken to the larger board for. Connecticut Children's, I'm sorry, Connecticut Children's Medical Center. Bridging the gap, the equity, you know, start for the nutritional and developmental health program. Those in favor? Or the request here is for $250,000. All of those in favor of that? Everyone is in support of that. The Connecticut Junior Republic, the expansion service to provide behavioral health outreach for children and youth. Those in favor of this program? Three. The request was for $250,000.
We might come back to the amount, right?
Right,
yeah, we'll come back to it. And Connecticut Council of Family and Service Agencies. Those in favor of this applicant? Three. Next is the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut. Those in favor? Three. Four. And next is Connecticut Breastfeeding Coalition. Those in favor? Three votes. Southwestern AHEC, Inc., all those in favor, support? One vote there. Others? Connecticut Association for Infant Mental Health, Inc., all those in support? And Children and Family Agency.
How many were
there? There were zero. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Children and Family Agency. All those in favor, support? Zero. Health Equity Solution. All those in favor? I have
All those that would like to support the funding request from Health Equity Solutions.
I think you have the listing of which ones have received 4 or 3. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you want to provide that?
Yes. So of the organizations that received the majority, it's St. Francis Hospital, Connecticut Children's Medical Center, Connecticut Junior Republic, Connecticut Council of Family Service Agencies, Community Health Center Association of Connecticut Breastfeeding Coalition, and then if the total amount requested was then awarded, it totaled $1,468,000, which means over by $429,449.
Those are for 3 or more votes. And what was the number for just the 4 votes?
So just the 4 votes, it would be $500,000 because there were 2 organizations that were that received 4-0.
So it was St. Francis and
St. Francis and Connecticut.
So I'm sorry, what is the overage again?
It is $429,449.
So we would need to go back through the votes that received 3 votes and make some decisions to what or make adjustments to in terms of what.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
When we're over by, call it 400,000.
Correct.
Round, and there are 4, you know, votes. Be efficient to do, let's say, rough justice and pay $100,000 for the request, noting that the last one, I think, the Breastfeeding Coalition has a smaller request. They're all requesting to.
I like that idea.
Yeah. And then, you know, the last time we went through the grant cycle, we, pulled from other resources somehow. And short $30,000 if we only cut.
Right.
Well,
we actually ended up cutting back. We didn't have other resources.
Right.
We actually ended up cutting back.
Oh, I had it backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, sorry. I was confused too. So I have to admit it. I was confused too. But Jeanette and Denise set me straight. So we ended up cutting back.
Okay. So we need to also reduce the $30,000.
But there's $1,038,000, right?
We have
$1,038,551.
Yeah.
And your number was assuming using the $1,038,000.
Yeah.
Correct. Oh, okay.
So correct. We're over by 430.
Yeah. We just fully fund the top two. We've got the 4s. You've got 4 and 3. And then you can hear what Steve said.
So we can do the 100,000, and I think, we just need to look at
You could take 110. You could take 110 from the first 3 and 1 from that.
Right.
The one that requested 218.
Right. I was gonna.
Oh, sorry. Sorry to cut you off. Sure. Great minds.
Yeah. So, to that point, I thought about in terms of the Connecticut Breastfeeding Coalition is to, see if we can cut that by the additional. Happen.
I thought you meant. What I was saying was only take 100 from them and take 110 from them.
Okay. So to make up the difference,
Because their request was smaller.
Right.
That's fine.
Does that work for everyone?
What does that get us to? Does that get us to where we need to be?
That gets you into $551 that would be left over to spend. Now you're under.
I think that works.
That works.
That's then, again, clarifying, that's taking 110,000
from the first 3.
From the first 3. So then you would be awarding 140,000 to Connecticut Junior Republic, mm-hmm. Connecticut Council of Family Service Agencies, and 140,000 for Community Health Center Association. And then you would be awarding 118,000 for Connecticut Breast.
Should we throw the $500?
Yeah, it's just to have it left. Yeah.
Right, to go to the Brett seating.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So I think that works, you know, all those in favor?
There aren't any concerns about partial awards and or in their ability to pursue the mission.
Exactly, that's the same question.
To put on their program. Well, so so as presented in here, they tell us what they can do, right, with what they're requesting. And they provide us with a budget to show how that. It's a very good question, Mike, because once you start cutting those kind of dollars, especially for the ones that are, you know, receiving, you know, 140 versus 250, it means that they're not going to be able to implement this kind of program that they would have been able to implement as if they were funded at the full value. At the full amount. So it will mean that there will be less. I mean, that's just what happens because they cannot sustain, you know, unless they're able to reach out to some other funders, and to be able to pick up that additional cost. And we don't know if they're able to do that or not. In some cases, we know that it has been very detrimental to cut back where we had a capital request. But these are program requests. And program request generally means that if they say they're going to serve, you know, 800 people, that maybe they're only going to serve 500 people,
they're just
going
your example of a capital sort of
The capital, campaigns are very challenging to cut back on, which is why we recommend that we don't cut back on those. But these are all program requests. So it will mean that there will be cutting back on the programs that were funded at the lesser level.
Or finding
other sources as to how they could pick up those additional costs, and that may or may not be a possibility. You never know, right? You know. So.
The community health center. I'm not familiar with the Association of Community. That's separate from the community health center.
So it's their like trade association for the state. So the Community Health Center Association has. Like 16 of the 17 members, the community health FQHCs are members.
I just feel like they have a lot of funding sources, it seems to me, but.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's, you know, they are the, they're the overarching, you know, kind of trade association. Like a Boys and Girls Association of Connecticut, you know, it's the same kind of thing.
So, I mean, that leaves us with, we can and do as we talked about, which is to go ahead and try as many as we can by described, or we can go back and just make some hard decisions as to fully funding some programs and others off of the list. Thoughts?
Yeah, no, that, I mean, that's certainly something to consider as far as the two that you fully funded. It's consideration to look at if that's what you want to do.
I'd rather spread it around.
Actually, I'm comfortable with the decision. Partial funding question, somewhat philosophical too, because as an organization, you partially fund someone, or partially fund an organization, and they do a partial project, if you will. How comfortable are we knowing that what we were told is not really going to get done because we didn't fully support them? I mean, even a partial funding award is based on what we're reading, and it was described to us as full funding. Now we're going to give less, so we're going to get less. So how comfortable are we in getting less than what we? Possible thing. I don't have an answer. It's just partial funding. Kind of the devil of grant makers for all the grants been made.
There's no question. Yeah, there's no question. It means you get part of what you, what was requested.
Yeah.
And then you determine if you're comfortable with part of.
Yeah, but the request, fully funded request, might sound awesome. We'd love to fund it, but what we get for partial funding might be very different, and it's like, oh, $10,000 when they ask for $200,000. And I don't have an answer, and I don't want to waste time on it, but it is an interesting. Anyway, but you answered.
Just reduce the total served, you would hope, right?
Right.
I think you would hope it's just going to reduce the total number served, so if you look at those that we cut back, Connecticut Junior Republic is suggesting they're going to serve 1,500, so their dollar amount, they're not going to have as much staff, they're going to serve fewer than that. 800 or something? Numbers, I think.
Yeah, my perspective is that I'm also comfortable in terms of spreading that by, you know, I agree, Peter, that it's philosophical in terms of whether or not what the impact is going to be. I think that these organizations, as you probably will, the impact might be slightly less, but, you know, there's still going to be impact. So, if we're all in agreement with sticking with the plan as you know, we had laid out in terms of.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, can we take a motion to move forward with the plan of support in terms of the dollar amounts that were allocated to the applicants?
Sure. I'll make a motion to allocate based on our prior discussion.
No, I don't need to go to the.
Based on a prior allocation of the six recipients.
Is there a second?
Second that motion.
Thank you, Susan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Thank you. The motion carries.
Thank you.
Well done, Betty. Your team.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions. Good questions, everybody. Thank you.
Great to read the write-off.
Thank you for the.
The applications are great to read.
Do we review? I forget. Do we review? Like, you know, next year, will we look back at these and say they, you know, they said they were going to serve 1,000 and we get their
report? We get reports, and we can certainly provide those reports and provide a analysis of everything that is, you know, that they were able to accomplish. But again, they'll have to go back to. Their original plan, and they'll have to let us know, and that'll be based on in the their report. There's a variance section, and so they fill out that variance section. So they'll say something to the effect of, "Well, you know, the original request was this, so therefore we." Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we can certainly provide that. Yeah.
So the last point of discussion is. Enterprise capital, and I'm going to have Betty give an update in terms of the discussions that we had. As background, we had Andrew over there speak to us about enterprise capital, and one of the things that I just hope that everyone understands in terms of enterprise capital, how it's different from grants that we do, is that enterprise capital is much more long-term structural approach to looking at how you put your work with capital organizations. And so what I mean by that is that it takes a much more business-like look at the organization and sales in terms of being an analytic agent outcome that we are. I'll pass it on to Betty.
Thanks for that intro, Lawrence. It's well said. So what we had said at our November meeting was that we would get back to you about enterprise capital after we had a couple of months to do a little bit more background on this. We did have another conversation with Andrea Levere. Lawrence was a part of it, and Jeanette. And so what I did with this memo was just kind of provide a little bit of the background. premise, which Lauren's just laid out, the type of, that is how different it is from typical grant conventional funding. And so then, it, you know, how do you determine what's going to be the appropriate funding vehicle? And one of the ways that we thought of this, and we actually did bring it up in our conversation with Andrea, is that we have had a couple of organizations that have come to us that are looking at focusing on health outcomes in the state, health equity, and the creation of a health equity trust has been one of them. Jeanette and I have been sitting in meetings, I think, for about two and a half years about the potential creation of a health equity trust in the state, and as well as the Connecticut Hospital Association has also been looking at the creation of a type of fund to get at addressing health equity. And so we actually had a question for Andrea. Could this possibly be the route that we would take, since these two organizations have come to us and talked to us about being a part of these different initiatives? And she thought that that made sense, that they, because they could be very catalytic in addressing, again, these are both focused on health, but addressing the health situation in the state with the large disparities and trying to address that in a much more systematic way and a comprehensive way. So we're waiting to hear back. Connecticut Hospital Association has said that they would get back to us in February, and the Health Equity Trust is speaking to other funders, and they've gotten back to us with potential other funders that are interested in supporting that initiative. So we're expecting to hear more back in February. At this point, we'd be thinking of this as a pilot, so really not thinking of this as like a traditional RFP. We'd be thinking of this more in kind of a pilot type of a situation, but we'll need to hear back from them as to how ready they are to get this type of initiative going. Jeanette, you want to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, they really have, what we have right now is very much like an outline. So they've not provided enough information on exactly what is this, how would it be structured, how would it be implemented. And so the concept is you're pooling a bunch of money together from different sources, and then you have sort of this management and administrative structure that is then deploying those dollars to communities across the state that are focused on health equity. And in this health equity trust version, it's all this, you know, grassroots sort of focused of the communities are determining what their health needs are and what needs funding and that kind of thing. The CHA version of it has the hospitals are the anchors, and each hospital is anchoring its community, but then sort of putting out all of these additional health workers, whatever it might be, to create this structure. So we don't have enough information whether or not it's these things are viable in any form or if we want to consider them. So we're expecting to get that information in the next 4 weeks, hopefully. And then if it looks like this is something, you know, that actually could be implemented, we would then much more detailed proposal and memo for the May meeting, which is going to be category like targeted. So it may be this ends up not going anywhere. We come back in May saying, let's just do, we're going to do the same thing we've always been doing because we've not been able to identify a suitable project for funding by enterprise capital. And we just hold this for another, you know, if another opportunity arises where it makes sense. So, so we're not trying to, the use for what the program and project.
Elaborate a little on the structure, how it gets funded. I mean, does health equity trust mean something?
So, Yeah, I mean, I think there's been one or two of them created elsewhere in the country. It is creating a trust, so it's a pot of money. In this model that was presented, there is a governance structure associated with like a board who is determining how that money is going to be deployed. In that structure, the board would have members of all the participating communities would be represented. There'd be a custodian of the dollars, there'd be a disbursement of the dollars according to a process. So all of those operating policies and procedures developed the whole, and the governance structure would have to be developed, be documented, be, you know, set up. So it's not a small undertaking. And so in the CHA version of it, it's a little bit different because you're using, we haven't seen enough information, probably the management structure or hospital driven policy. But it's still pooling funding from different sources in order to provide these services, which will then use the use of Medicaid.
They provide these services. These are services that hospitals don't provide, or they're,
well, it's more like in the social determinants of health services. So similar to some of the services.
Got it.
So the idea is everybody, so Chief would pull some of the money in. We wouldn't be deciding here necessarily how that money is spent,
correct,
but the
correct
idea is that there'd be a bigger pool to do something that might have a bigger benefit.
Right.
So
and
I can use the example. I mean, it seems all the time, I know it's the same way in New Haven, is homelessness. When you talk about social determinants of health and excessive behavioral health issues and things, it really all comes down to homelessness. And in Middlesex County, but nobody has enough money to fund that.
Right.
So that's the issue. I've often said this, a lot of these agencies that we're all giving away small amounts of money, if could pool it, maybe there could be a place with a bunch of beds that
community members could utilize and. Right. I think it's. So it's yeah.
A lot of little agencies giving away small amounts of money,
right,
but nobody on the bed for very long because it's expensive.
So we'll see if the timing syncs up with when we be making our decisions. So that's.
Appreciate everyone's discussion on that. It's very interesting. So more to come. The next meeting is going to be in May. Are there any other business for this committee?
So you know that yearly we've been having a nonprofit forum and where we invite our applicants, our grant applicants, usually from the past few years, and invite clients to come and hear from a panel or a speaker on an issue of importance in the state. So one of the things, you know, we've talked about it today. Last year we had a health equity panel. This year the projected suggestion is on children and adolescent behavioral mental health, and that we have a keynote speaker and a moderated panel, which we're hoping to run at the end of April, and potentially in collaboration with the Connecticut Council for. We have not set the date. I just spoke to the folks at Connecticut Council for Philanthropy. We're looking at the last week, potentially the 26th or the 28th of April, but they were looking at their programs to see if they had any on those 2 days, and they were going to get back to me today. I didn't hear from them. That's what we're thinking, and we have identified a potential speakers, Jeff Vanderploeg, who is the head of the Child Health and Development Institute. Very well versed. I heard him speak on this issue. He's about 60 or so.
Yeah.
I think we had about 60. We're also planning to hold it in the same space across the hall at the Harker Foundation.
Yeah, I remember that one now. Well, thank you, Betty, and thanks everyone for the meeting. If there are no other statements, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you, Mark.
Well done.